Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can see, you can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. Hi, it's me, Jackie Cation. I don't know why I'm whispering. Happy New Year. It's the January 1st, the first week of January 2026. Boy, is it a shit show. But let us discuss something else. Shall we say. My guest this week is my friend. And she's a math person and a science person. But we're not going to talk about that. Judy Adler, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me. I am a sciencey person. But today we're going to talk about escape rooms, which I love.
You lovely love an escape room. But I do have to say that because I've told this story before on this show, is that Judy is the one when I said to her one time, so have we been able to learn how to control gravity yet? She said, what are you reading? And because no, the answer is no, Jackie. Anyway, so yes. So yeah, escape rooms, though. So yes. How do you know when were they? They became big, but have they always been around? Like, I mean, I don't know.
They have not always been around. Probably 15, 14-ish, something like that, years ago. This is actually on my list of what might we want to talk about. We, you and Andy, and Phil and Bernard did our very first escape room.
Together, the four, yep. Five of us. Yes.
Yep. I don't know if you remember it or not.
No, I remember everyone because I'm not good at them. But I do, I like hanging out with people.
You definitely add to the escape room with a different way of thinking than most of us have to.
Well, and that's it. What you need is a team.
Yep.
Who can have a different way. Everybody has a different way of thinking about stuff.
Yep.
And mine is craft services, I guess. I don't know. But what would you remember what it was? The first one you did?
It was a rocket ship themed one. We were in a rocket ship with control panels in front of us. And
we had been kidnapped and put on the and they were going to take off and we had to get out before we were sent into space.
Maybe. If you remember that, then that's probably it, because I don't remember other than we were in a rocket ship.
Okay.
But the next little bit I'm going to say, if you haven't done escape rooms, you probably don't want to listen to, because we got to what we thought was the last puzzle. We're like, this is the last possible thing in this room. This is it. We're going to get out from here.
Yeah.
And right. We were struggling with it, but we were not going to ask for hints.
Right. Because you can ask for hints.
You can ask for hints.
And let's first of all, let people know that an escape room isn't really an escape room. You really have not been kidnapped. You can leave at any time. You will forfeit your $35. And you should probably talk to the other people in the room before you have that small freak out. But you can leave. Nobody's actually locked you into anything. So,
correct.
Watched on camera by the people who run it. That if you're panicking or if you're going to break something, one of those two things.
Right.
Right. So, okay. So but I don't think that's a spoiler.
No, that's not the spoiler. We opted not to ask for a hint, and we insisted on not asking for a hint. And I think eventually we had only a few minutes left. We asked for a hint. They gave us a hint and we got the puzzle, and then it opened a door to more room, which we had no idea it was going to go further. This is the spoilery part.
Yeah. Well, except for that I don't even know if that one's still around, because the thing about escape rooms is that they kind of saturate the community, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, we have to write a new one.
Right.
And
I went looking for another room.
Yeah, there was another room, and there might've been two. You never know how many rooms are going to be in the escape room, right?
Yep.
Because it's usually not, you would think it would be one room, and we didn't know because we had never been to an escape room.
Right.
Yeah.
I learned from that experience. Now, whenever we walk into an escape room, the first thing we do is look around and go, that's probably a door. That's going to move, and figure it out, because that's part of the puzzle what's going to happen, what's going to open up and get us into another room. I have occasionally done a room that's only a single room, but that is extremely rare.
And probably more rare now than when it first started.
Yeah.
Just because you got to make them more complicated because people are getting good at them.
Right.
So what are the normal... Would you say that they're standard kinds of puzzles?
There are some, but the better escape rooms think outside that realm of what you usually see in an escape room. And some of my favorites just have things that I hadn't seen before.
Right.
Early on, a lot of escape rooms were do a thing, get a code, put it into a lock, open that lock, which gives you a clue to do another thing, to figure it out, to get a code to another lock, etc. My favorite rooms have very few, if any, locks that you need to get a code for to unlock.
Okay, right. But those might be good starter ones. I've done a couple other episodes about escape rooms, but it's been years. Like, I think the last one I did was probably during lockdown, so 5 years ago. And so they've changed. Do you think they've changed? Like, do they change kind of exponentially, or do they change as a community? Do you see like you're going along, and then there's sort of a jump?
I think what happens is you get a lot of somewhat similar rooms. People play a room and go, oh, I like that room. I'm going to do something like that for my room. And then somebody does something really cool and different. And a lot of people go, oh, that's really cool. That's really cool and different. I'm going to start doing something like that. So
they kind of cannibalizes itself.
Yep. A little bit.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, it's a game, right? It's a fun game all right. You pick the next. I have very basic questions, and I know you have a couple of pages of notes you want to tell me about. So please.
So, let me look at my list, because I was going to say something and it left my head, as often happens. One of the things that we really like doing is we actually play rooms when we travel. So I have done escape rooms literally all over the world. We've done
in different countries.
Yep. Seattle, obviously in the US. We've done games in Vancouver and Victoria and British Columbia, in Edmonton. We did a room when we were in Iceland. We did rooms when we were in Australia and New Zealand.
Okay. So everything's in English so far, except for Iceland, but Iceland probably the room was all in English. Okay, good.
Yep. I suspect a lot of places the rooms are in English, but if not, there's some way to translate them, I would imagine. I mean, there are some rooms that you don't need language for. Those are rare when you need like no language, but oftentimes a lot of this stuff is pretty clear what you need to do.
Oh.
And it's a matter of solving the puzzle. If it's a sound puzzle or it's an audio puzzle or it's a, those are the same. If it's a visual puzzle or a, you know, a physical manipulation puzzle.
What's the ones that are like, if you go into an escape room and you hear music or you hear something coming over the speakers, are you immediately suspicious that that is some sort of clue and you're going to have to figure out whatever's happening auditorially?
Not necessarily. Usually if it's a sound puzzle, you'll hear a change. Most escape rooms don't have music playing in them. Even when you go in, oftentimes there's an intro video that will have music in it. But because one of the key things about escape rooms is communication, if they're playing music on top of people trying to talk, it's really hard to to communicate.
Right. What's the perfect, like, there's you and Phil and Bernard. Yep. So is that a good number, or do you like it when there's a couple extra? Because the three of you work well together, but you kind of have the same, you look for the same thing. So you're
somewhat.
You might like a Jackie Cation coming in, going, well, what's that mushroom?
Yep.
And then
yep.
Remember the one that we did that was, it was mushrooms.
It was the Smurfs, right?
Oh, it was a Smurf one. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Adorable. And yes, it's great for kids, but we had a blast doing it because it was really cute. But it also had like puzzles to solve in it.
Real puzzles. Really? Yep. Yeah. Yep. And it was, and we were giants in Smurfland.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that.
Yep.
That's all
yep.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that was, I think, the first room of that group.
Right. That one had a couple of rooms as well.
Yep.
Where you get out of the rocket room and then you're into the foyer of the rocket. And I think we did not escape that room because we did not leave enough time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We thought it was so we might as well struggle with it. But
how long is a good time for an escape room? Which ones do you like?
So most escape rooms are usually about an hour to escape. I've seen ones. I don't think I've done any that are 30 minutes, which are obviously going to have less in them. But we've played ones that are 75 minutes. We've played ones that are 90 minutes as well. And it just means there's more puzzles in them and more things to solve. Or they think that what they've done is hard enough that you're going to need more time to solve it, which is possible as well. So it depends. So when I play games, there's sort of groups of people that I've done games with. I've done games with you and Andy and Risa.
Right.
Done games with Jim
Risa
and Chris.
Risa was on. She did Immersive Theater. That's her episode of The Dork Forest. If everybody wants to go check that out. There you go.
Yes, yes, yes. we've done ones with Jim and Chris, and they bring very different stuff to it because Chris is a lighting designer and Jim teaches English but also has some experience in science as well. But everybody brings their own sort of twist to their own strengths to the game. There's a couple of math teachers that I play with, Fred and Neethi, and we have a blast. When I've been at AP exam grading, which I've done over the years, I've gone many times with groups of physics teachers.
Okay.
And you'd think we might struggle because we're all similar, but there's enough variety in us that no, and we have a blast. We oftentimes blow through rooms because you're in with a bunch of really smart people.
Okay. And are they usually math and science? Are they usually, what are the puzzles? Is there patterns for the puzzles? There's not like a Shakespeare one where you have to remember the quote from Shakespeare, or maybe there is, I don't know, but there's a lot of math and science more than anything, I think.
Yeah. If you are someone who likes puzzles, whether or not you know your math or science, you'll enjoy escape rooms. The puzzles can range. There's ones where you have to physically manipulate things. There are ones where it's a maze, but the thing you're trying to get through the maze, you can't control, but someone behind you can't see the maze has a magnet and they control. So you have to communicate to tell them how to guide their thing out of the maze.
Oh, okay. So sort of the two key nuclear bomb kind of thing.
Right. You need two people working together.
I see. Okay.
There's a lot of that. Like I found something over off to the side on one side, but it goes with something on the other side of the room or in the next room. And you have to communicate.
Right. You're just like, so I'm here looking at this. What are you looking at that has sort of the same symbol on it?
Yep.
Or something like that? Okay.
Or, hey, I see this thing. I just saw that thing over there a little while ago that I know goes with this. Let me go back and look at it. And then communication back and forth.
Right, right.
Some rooms, I've been in rooms where you start in a couple of different rooms, so the players are separated from each other, and some of them have telephones where you literally pick up the phone and call the people in the other room, and they have clues in their room that help you solve to get out of your room. And so the beginning of it, you're separated, but then you get back together fairly quickly as well.
Okay. That sounds really cool.
Yep. Those are interesting and fun also. There is, and I haven't done this one yet, out towards Palm Springs-ish, there's a cabin escape room thing that's like a weekend. Like you go out there to spend the weekend out there and there's some escape room stuff that you do. And there's also just, I think the cabin itself is supplied with games and that kind of stuff.
Oh, right, right. And a kitchen and a refrigerator.
Something like that, yeah.
It's like a hotel room, but it's also an escape room?
Yep, something like that.
That's kind of fascinating.
Sounds like it could be cool. Having to find a weekend that will work for people to go do it is challenging.
Sure. That sounds almost impossible. Yes.
Yep. So I have two that will get down the bad alley, two of the worst rooms that I've ever done.
Okay, where there's trouble when they haven't done the puzzles right or there was some other problem?
Yeah, various problems. So the first one, I believe it was Andy... Brett Schefter, Phil and Bernard and me, and I don't know if anyone else was there. It was in just an office complex right near the corner of Sepulveda and Burbank in the valley. And we went up, it was upstairs in like an office space that they had rented out. There were minimal sets, hardly anything there. So there wasn't a lot of set decoration, which is oftentimes really cool. In escape rooms.
The story. Yeah, the story. We'll talk about that after, but I mean, okay. Yeah. So there just really wasn't a lot of imagery and stuff to play with.
And you wonder if they were renting the space and were told you can't do anything to the walls or whatnot, which would be weird, but who knows?
But maybe.
But then we got to a point in the game where we needed to use a cell phone to make a call or get information on a cell phone, and the cell phone needed a charge. And so we had to wait.
Shoot.
They brought in a charger. We had to wait for the cell phone to charge for us to be able to continue. When you're on the clock, you're like, we don't have the time for this.
Mm-hmm. Right. They didn't reset the room correctly.
Yep.
With a fully charged cellular telephone. Yep.
There also might have been flashlights that needed batteries too. I don't remember if it was that one or a different room.
If you ran an escape room, have you ever thought about like what you would do?
Yep.
What would you?
Oh, so the first thing you want to probably do is come up with, well, I guess you can come at it two ways. You could come up with puzzles, figure out what puzzles you might like to do, and then find a theme that works with it. More likely though, to me, is come up with a theme and then design puzzles around that theme.
Oh, right. Just write the story first. And then why would you be trapped somewhere?
Right.
So
the most recent room that I did was a Tron themed room. And we started out in Flynn's Arcade with video games, but the video games had all been altered so that they give you clues. And then you go in and then you're in the computer. And so you're in a separate room and there are various tasks to complete. And it was really cool. It was very well done.
That's really cool. And someone who has the mad programming skills to reprogram a video game?
Yep.
That's right. I mean, he that took feels out very Los Angeles.
Right. So. The guy who designed the room happened to be there when we did it. And he's not normally there. He has another full-time job. But he
right, because these things probably don't pay for themselves.
Right. Well,
this has got to be a labor of love.
Right. Although some of them, I think a lot of them do. This one, though, we found out that it's got four or five different rooms in this one location, but they're all, they're designed by different people. So this place has people come in and design their, you know, hey, I have a design for an escape room. Let me install it here. And so then it's a money split.
Okay. So they essentially, they help them put it out there. And then if there is profit, they split that cash.
Yep.
But that sounds super artistic. Like it's an art installation.
Yep.
To some extent, these things are an art installation. What do you think?
Having all the set design and all the stuff that makes it interesting and cool to look at, not just here, walk into a room and do a bunch of puzzles.
Yeah. Right. It's okay. So, yeah. So what was the other one that was troubled?
So the other one was in Tacoma, Washington, that we were flying up to Seattle and we met my cousin and her husband there. And it was a room where at the beginning they gave you this thing to read. You read through it and then off you went into the escape room and you had to remember details from the thing that you had read.
Oh, and it wasn't available.
No.
Right. You it should have the book.
Yeah.
I played Myst.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That is insane. Right.
Yeah.
How did you win?
I don't even remember it. It was sort of a linear thing. And I don't remember if they just advanced us through stuff, even if we didn't figure it out or what, but it was not an enjoyable experience for any of us, unfortunately.
Right. You have to make sure everything's available with all of the information at all times, I think.
Yep, yep.
And that can also be kind of tricky if you've used a thing and you're like, well, I'm done using that item.
Mm-hmm.
Is there sometimes I feel like there's you have to use it again, but you wouldn't think of it because you just used it.
Right. That's one of the things that you've heard us ask, you know, the people running the games as you're getting ready to start your game will ask if you have any questions. And one of the questions we try to remember to ask is there anything in the room that will be used twice?
Fair enough.
Usually they say no. Occasionally they will say yes, but it'll be really obvious. And once I think we've had them go, I'm not telling you. I don't want to ruin it for you, which is like, okay, which is okay. Right. And we did fine and still figured out what to do and all.
Yeah. The first episode about escape rooms, there was the guy that I did it with who I just ran into in San Francisco. He had come with his girlfriend to the show and he was great, but he said that he missed an Allen wrench in a room. And so, and it was on top of the door jamb. And so I felt this was like a little cruel to himself, but he keeps an Allen wrench on top of a door jamb in his house, in his apartment.
In case he might need it.
In case he just wants to remember that he failed once.
Right.
And I was like, hey man, you did great. And he also, that was the guy that wrote, crossword puzzles that occasionally got purchased by the New York Times.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, it's not like you could celebrate the things that you did good.
Yes.
You don't have to beat yourself up with an Allen wrench.
Right. And we oftentimes nowadays, we get to a point where we start to get a little bit frustrated and we all look at each other and usually they want everybody to unanimously agree that you want to ask for a hint. And sometimes there's one person who's like, hey, wait, let me try this one other thing. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But there's no shame in asking for hints. One of the things, and
especially if there's a dialogue,
right,
where you all talk about it, and then someone goes, let me just try one or two more things, and then I promise I'll say yes.
Yep.
And then it's
escape
unanimous.
Rooms, they used to all have like the best time. So you had the group that had the best time and then how many hints they used. I have seen that disappear. You don't generally see that anymore. It's just get out. You can get as many hints as you want. Just enjoy the puzzling and don't necessarily race for time.
Okay.
When I get out of an escape room quickly, I'm like, I just wasted my money because I could have taken an hour and it only took me 30 minutes.
Oh, but I think it's interesting that they sort of got rid of the competitive edge to it, just because because some people do beat themselves up about it, and other people, but other people love it. They love to know that they did better than, I don't know, 80% of other people or whatever.
You know who loves the competitive aspect of it?
Your son, young Bernard.
Bernard, my kiddo, not so much.
Oh, good.
Risa wants to wants to beat the time.
Yes. I play games with Risa a fair amount, and she is competitive.
Yes.
She is also interested in immersive theater, you guys. Check it out. Listen to her episode on immersive theater.
Yes, and, it's a good one.
She does she like to win.
Braver, she is braver than I in immersive theater stuff, because nope, not for me. Oh.
I think she's just waiting for someone to ask her to get nude. She's like, come on.
Right.
Don't you want to get nude? Yes. Right. Let's get nude. And I'm like, I don't want to get nude.
Nope.
I'm good.
Nope. Me neither. Some of the fun stuff that we've done is now probably three or four times we've done rooms where they weren't quite done and we were playtesting them.
Wow.
And oftentimes, you know, we can give feedback. We've done enough rooms that we're like, hey, this isn't working, or you need to clue this a little bit better. And that was what was really cool about the Tron room, is the guy who designed it was there. And we were able to talk through and like ask about some of the decisions he made and whatnot. And because it's have some really different things in it and whatnot. And it was nice to be able to talk through. And that's one of the things that we, as I guess dorks in that way, like to talk about: how a room was designed, how was it put together, you know, where did you go for these things, where did that idea come from?
That's really cool, because I mean, for me, just I'm not a huge fan of escape rooms, because I do feel like I'm not that's not how my brain works. So I'm like, I will go over and turn some buttons, and if I accidentally reveal a clue, we all win. But I'm not, I can do Sudoku, I can do a crossword, there's many puzzles I cannot do. I get lost on numbered grid streets in cities. So puzzles are not my jam.
Yep.
But I love the stories.
Yeah.
I love to hear that there's a Tron one. That rocket one was actually really cool, because because what I remember is the story. We had been kidnapped and drugged, and we came, like, you are coming to in this room. You have 1 hour before this rocket takes off and shoots you into space. And I was like,
bad news.
Yep. Yeah, I don't want to get shot in this.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, and my favorite rooms are a mix, but a lot of them have stories. Like really good stories, really interesting stories, and they're integrated into the puzzles. So the puzzle doesn't pull you out of the story, which sometimes happen.
Yeah.
One of the more fun, just individual puzzle experiences that I had, this was at an escape room in Seattle, and it was a room that had a bunch of lasers going across it, and you had to make your way across without interrupting the lasers.
Right.
And you those in spot. And I was like, I really want to do this. And Bernard and I jumped on it and did it. But Phil didn't get to do it because we needed one person to stay back to push buttons at two sides. We completed that room in plenty of time. And we actually went to the person who was writing it and were like, he didn't get to do it. Is there any way we can reset it and he can try it? And they were nice enough to they just said, close this one thing and it'll turn the lasers on again. And Phil got to do it as well. But that's one of those things that I've always been like, that looks so cool. I really want to do it. And I actually got to do it in an escape room.
Could I have made it through to steal the gem or whatever?
Exactly.
Press the button.
Right.
And so that's very.
That was lots and lots of fun.
Remember in Galaxy Quest when there's the chomping things?
And crushers and chompers and crushers and chompers. Yep.
Who wrote this episode?
Right.
Why is this here? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I would like to fake go through that. That's what I would like to do.
Right. So, for people who are interested in escape rooms, there's a few good resources out there, that they can use. One is, I believe the previous episode you did about escape rooms, it was with a woman whose name I don't remember.
Barbara Holiday. She owns Flappers here in the Los Angeles area.
She had a great list of escape rooms that she had done with information about them. And that definitely pointed me at some escape rooms to do.
Well, that's amazing.
Yep.
That's good. Cause I remember she made that available and I did send it to everybody who wanted it.
Yep.
I no longer have it. So do not ask me. Have you been updating it by any chance?
I have not. No.
Okay.
I think I still have it. I think I downloaded it though. It's somewhere on my computer. I could maybe find it. But one of the places I almost always go to is a website called roomescapeartist.com.
Room Escape
Artist. And it's just one word, roomescapeartist.com on the end of it. They have really good info about rooms. They rate rooms, but they don't, they don't give it like a star rating generally. They have, when you read their review of a room, they give you pluses and minuses. Here's something that was a really standout good thing. And here's something that was a not so good thing. And so you can decide, okay, are you willing to do this room, even though there's this one negative thing? But without spoilers.
Right. I mean, that would be really hard because they're is it sort of vaguely saying the puzzles are really good? The parking is difficult.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, this puzzle was not clued well enough. It wasn't clear that we needed to use this other piece of information to do this puzzle.
But nothing by name. Just vaguely saying this puzzle had these kind of difficulties.
Right.
That made it impossible.
Yep.
But the other things were great and the storyline was great. Or this one doesn't have a good story.
Right.
But the puzzles were good.
Or the payoff at the end, sort of the final scene, wasn't worth all of the time that you spent, all the puzzles you did to get there. It was kind of disappointing. It was kind of eh.
Okay.
That's
Room Escape Artist?
Artists. Okay. No, not plural.
Singular? Okay.
Yep. But the one of the best things that they do is they give a recommended number of players for a room. A lot of rooms say you can play with 2 to 8 players. I've done rooms that if we had more than 4 players, it would be crowded and not everybody would be able to even be doing stuff. And so they give an honest assessment. Here's the number of players that are good for this room. And usually it's a range, you know, bring 4 to 6 or just 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep. And then the other site that I have not used, which I kind of regret now, is called Morty. And it lets you track the escape rooms that you've done. So you put in which ones you've done. And I have probably done multiple hundreds of escape rooms. But I didn't start on Morty. And so then, going in now, I'd be like, well, I could, but it's incomplete. And so I haven't gotten into using it, which is
kind of meh. It's a sort of a community billboard more than anything?
Yep.
Do you go there to look for other people's...
Yeah. Yeah, you can go there to look for other people's ratings on rooms.
Can you search by cities?
I think you can in Morty. I'm not sure. Room Escape Artist, they have recommended rooms for different areas. And then they have a map and you can zoom into however close you want, map of the U.S.
Oh,
and
good.
they have 2 colors of indicators. Ones are rooms that they know that are there. And the other is rooms that they have reviewed. So they have actually done them and reviewed them. So if you see the blue one, you're like, oh, I should go read their review to see if this is something that I would like. They also put out Golden Lock Awards every year for the best rooms or the most original rooms. Those are often good ones to go to.
That sounds great. Do you have sort of like your 5 favorites?
You asked me for that. I put together my top 5 escape rooms. And then I also put together 4 LA escape room companies that have multiple rooms that we really like.
Okay.
So we can start with the top 5 escape rooms. And this is in no particular order. I didn't rank them against each other. First one is called Treasure Island. It's at Brain Games Escapes in San Pedro. We are willing to drive down there to do this escape room. And that's where the Tron room is now as well. There's one other room there that I really want to do. And it had really interesting, different puzzles. The theming is amazing. You start out like a floor that's in a room with a floor that's sandy. And there's like a tiki bar there. And to the point where they're like, here in this refrigerator, here are sodas. And you're welcome to drink the sodas as part of the game. If you want, you can have a Coke
or a soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's very sweet. Yeah, that's cool.
Really, really well done and not super easy room. It was challenging. Okay. I actually
are there different that. Are there different rates as far as like is there any kind of a rating system, or is it just
for difficulty?
For difficulty, or is it just sort of word of mouth or suggestion?
The escape rooms, oftentimes, if there are multiple rooms at one location, they will rate their own escape rooms. But from company to company, I've not seen sort of an across the board, except if you go to like Room Escape Artists, where they talk about the difficulty level, because they
They will.
Looking at all kinds of games. Yep. Then when we were in Australia, we were in Brisbane on my birthday. And so Phil planned two escape rooms for us to do on my birthday. It was between soccer games, of course.
Fun.
And we did a room called Steampunk Alchemist Revenge at a place called Quest
in
Room.
Quest Room.
The theming was fantastic, even from like the person who meets you when you go in there initially, before you're even in the room, you go to check in and they're sort of in a character as well. Amazing set
That's
decoration.
Awesome. Okay.
Interesting puzzles and a variety of puzzles. That's the other thing is you want a variety. Like if they give you the same interesting puzzle, you have to do it over and over. It gets tiring, but a variety of different interesting puzzles is cool.
That's it. Okay. I kind of want to ask what kinds of different puzzles? What are the different kinds of puzzles?
I don't like
you said the code one,
right?
You have to get a code to open
ones,
a thing.
There are things where you have to, whether it's switches or buttons, you have to either push them in the right order or put them in the right places. There are, and that's based on a code that you have to figure out whatever that code is on. This one actually had a bicycle that was probably like an exercise bike that you had to pedal in order to get it to do whatever the next thing was that you wanted it to do.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So just having different gear, like a different actual item that you had not seen before that was the thing that activated the puzzle.
Yep.
Okay. That's okay. That's kind of fascinating.
Yeah. I'm guessing that there are categories of puzzles for escape rooms. I don't know what those categories are. If you talk to somebody who designs escape rooms, they can probably talk about that a little bit more. When we're in an escape room, though, if there's something that needs physical manipulation, if Bernard gets to it first, Bernard's like, it's mine. And if if one of us gets to it, sometimes we'll work it and sometimes we'll be like, here, Bernard. Whereas a sound puzzle, if it's something that you have to listen to and it's especially music and notes, Phil is like, Judy, come over here, do this puzzle. Funny that I'm the one with hearing aids and I'm the one who does all this music puzzles.
That's because you're willing to wear hearing aids.
I suppose. I'm also, you know, trained somewhat. I, you know, played instruments growing up and all that good stuff.
Okay. They never did music?
The not others? A lot. Not much.
Okay.
There's sometimes where you have to find patterns and look at the patterns. And the patterns, like sometimes you have to look up and there's a pattern of tiles across the ceiling and they match things together. And you have to put these two things together and these two based on what you see up there. And so powers of observation come in super handy as well.
That makes sense. Okay, that makes sense. I get it. All right. So Brisbane.
Yep. The next one is much closer. it's called Hope End. And the company is the Ministry of Peculiarities. And it's in Azusa. I think Andy did this one with us. This is one where the moment you walk into the door, you are in it. The woman who greets you is the receptionist for the Ministry of Peculiarities, and she talks to you and gets you into it and off you go. It's really, really well done, immersive. I think I'm the person who would be really good to do escape rooms again because I don't remember a lot of the puzzle. Like you're asking me and I'm like, okay. I don't remember even the specific puzzles in Hope End, but I remember it was an amazing escape room.
Right. That's something we could talk about is the replayability of them. A lot of people think that there really isn't.
Right.
But maybe there is, like, especially if you don't like, you're like, well, I remember parts of it and how cool it was, but I don't remember other parts of it. And it's like rereading a book that you skimmed.
Yep.
You know, you get and other things out of it.
Yep. I imagine once I got into a room, I would have things that cue that memory. But being outside of the room, I'm like, I don't remember what the puzzles were. Right. But I could, I'd be interested to actually try a room again, just to see like what all I remember. If it's a room where I'm like, I don't remember any of the puzzles we did, how much of it comes back to me if I'm in a room.
So you have never done a room again?
I have not done a room again that I know of. Okay.
That you know of, that I can remember at this time.
Right. Yep. Another one that was really well done is called Atlantis, the Forgotten City. It's at Hypnotic Escape Rooms, which is in Van Nuys, so it's close to you guys. Andy might have done this one with us, I think. It is a huge room, huge high ceilings, and so the whole puzzle is sort of grandiose.
Okay.
And it had, among other things, it has a couple of water features in it. And we talked to the guy that we talked to about doing the Tron room. The idea of water came up because he had another idea for an escape room that we were talking about. And then we were like, you'd have to have water in it. He's like, yeah, I've heard that water isn't great. And we're like, hey, well, have you done this? Have you done Atlantis, the Forgotten City? He's like, yes. And I asked them about their water and they regret using water in their escape room. It's cool effects, but it's a pain in the butt to deal with, I'm sure.
What now? Why is it? I mean, is it just a mess? Is that what is the problem? Or
my guess is it's hard to control. You can get water in your electronics, and a lot of the best escape rooms, everything or almost everything is an electronic something that you have a magnetic lock that pops open, open a panel or a door. And so mixing water and electronics, bad idea.
Bad idea. Even I know that.
Yep. And they have, I think, two or three other rooms at Hypnotic Escape Rooms also. We've done one of the other ones, and it was great as well.
Okay.
Not as grandiose as the Atlantis one. Found out after we finished Atlantis, the guy at the front, the who's the owner of that escape room, asked me if I had ever taught at Burbank High School. And I was like, yes. And he was like, you were my physics teacher.
There you go.
Which was insane.
That is insane. That is rando.
Right. Exactly.
But it makes sense.
Right.
And he owns and runs that particular.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I thought you were going to say he was from Atlantis. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then you would have said, what are you reading?
Right.
So, yep. Right.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, what else you got?
The fifth one of my favorite top five is one that I'm pretty sure you were with us for. It's in K-Town. It was called Stash House.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was about cocaine or something.
Yep, you're trying to find the stash to clear the drug stash out of the house before the cops arrived.
That's right.
That was a big space.
That was a really big space.
There were,
holy smokes, Andy crawled underneath. Yeah, there were a lot of us.
Yep.
Andy spent most of the time underneath that staircase.
Yeah. That had the bed on top of him, like a little loft thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were enough puzzles for all of us to be able to work on stuff. It wasn't like two people working on a puzzle and everyone else was sitting there waiting for something to do.
Right.
There was enough to keep us all engaged throughout.
Yeah. It was a big room and a big deal.
Yep.
And if I remember correctly, we did win it, right? We did get out.
Yep.
Or we found it close enough. And there was the production value on that thing was incredible.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. So
and there are very few rooms that I have failed to escape. There are a few.
Okay.
But not many. Some of them, they've said, you know, you're really close. Their time is up, but we're going to let you continue because we think you'll solve it in the next few minutes, which is kind of them to do.
Yeah.
Let us finish.
So, then one of them, I think, just didn't have the right clues, right? And like some of them were unplayable to some extent.
Yep.
Yeah. And is there one that you did not get to finish that you would, or that you did not win, that you would go back to?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Right. Because it would be, you'd have to remember A, what it was.
Right.
And B, where it was. Because in the middle of New Zealand, it's hard to just hop on a plane.
Yep.
So did you play any in New Zealand?
We did. We played one or two, I don't remember, in Auckland.
Okay. Yeah, because I think they're everywhere now. It's whenever I travel anywhere. We were in Manchester, England, and we walked by an escape room.
Yep.
And I was like, I kind of want to do it, but I'm not good at them. And I only have Andy.
Right.
So
oftentimes two people in escape rooms are challenging. The ones that that are in recent memory that I haven't completed, there's just been two of us in them.
Have you ever done them with strangers?
No, that is on my list. I might have way back when. Most rooms beginning. Nowadays are private. So you, however many people you have, you're going to use the room. And so a lot of them, you can do it with only two people if you want, but there's a minimum amount that they're going to charge. And it comes out to, you know, for four people, it's whatever it is per person. But if you're doing with less than four, you're still going to pay that amount. So the cost per person goes up.
So if it's $30, if it's $120, it's $120.
Yep.
Right.
And then if you add a fifth person, they would add on additional. So there's like a minimum, the floor of what they're willing to basically, but it will go up if you have more people.
Interesting. Okay.
I nowadays am unwilling to do rooms that aren't private.
Okay. That you would have to share with, with strangers. Okay.
Right. Stranger danger.
But they probably did it because it might get confrontational. You might get people who, really have other issues or the same skill set, or you just it would be hard to play a game as opposed to Gen Con, where you go and you're all just playing a board game where the rules are very much rote.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Are too loosey-goosey, I guess.
It's loosey-goosey and it requires cooperation. And some of it is like knowing the strengths of the people that you're working with also.
Okay.
It's similar to, like, we used to always, on New Year's Eve, we always played Apples to Apples as our final game. It's know your audience,
it's
right?
It's like Apples to Apples.
Okay, if I pull the My Lobster card, a lobster card, you play it to Brian McGinnis because he will guaranteed pick it as his favorite.
Pick a lobster.
So knowing lobster and my hair are the two that always would get Brian.
Right. So, I mean, knowing the people that you're playing with, Apples to Apples is a key example of that, where you could definitely go, this person is more literal. I'm going to play this literal card. This person is silly in this direction. This person enjoys something filthy or whatever. So that's very funny.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
Yep. So it's the same, like knowing the people you're playing with is good. There's a set of rooms actually at the Century City Mall. That they have, their rooms are not private. If you want the room, you have to buy out the entire eight players of room, regardless of how many people you bring.
Huh.
But on December 31st, a friend who I do escape rooms with sent a few of us a text and saying, hey, they're having a sale. And normally it was $350 or $360 to buy out an entire room. You could buy out an entire room. You got a gift card that would buy out the entire room for $200.
Okay.
So I picked up two of those.
Okay. Oh, okay. And so they were having a sale.
Whatever number. Yeah. They were having a big, year-end sale.
Sort of a gift card-y sale. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a room that's themed after Only Murders in the Building.
Okay.
Which
All right.
I'm super excited to do. I've been enjoying the show. There are not a lot of current sort of TV themed rooms or movie themed rooms. There are some though.
I wonder if they get, if there's IP issues, if anybody, I don't think anybody should care. Like, it's not that big of a deal that they would just say, hey, you can't do like a Star Wars. I would see like Disney caring or maybe George Lucas.
Right. Yeah. This one is advertised all over the place with like the photo of the three main characters and whatnot. So I'm guessing that they have either approval or paying.
Right. Or they're willing to risk it until it goes away. Yeah.
Yep. I've done a Jumanji themed room that was very clearly, connected to brought in some new electronics for this room that the escape room place hadn't used before. And it was a really well done room. It was very clear that they had partnered with, it was when the movie came out, I think most recently. It was probably five years ago, something like that, maybe.
Sure, the new part of the franchise. Yeah.
Did a Titanic themed room, but I think it was themed more after the Titanic as opposed to the movie Titanic.
Oh, fair enough.
But we've done Godzilla versus Kong.
Okay.
Which is definitely, and Smurfs, of course.
Right. And Smurfs.
So
it's, have you done any vampire themed ones? Are there horror ones?
Oh yeah.
I think there are
lots of horror escape rooms. I don't mind creepy. I've done some that are creepy, but I don't want horror. None of us in my family particularly appreciate jump scares. Screaming people and whatnot. I'm like, that person, like, even though I know they're acting, it's still.
Yeah. It turns out it's still scary. Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'm not a big horror person. So.
Right. And if there's like, even if there's just video of the crime, I'm just like, I don't need it to. It's like how I never like, even like sort of less. Like not realistic, like more. The superpower of Castle is that for some reason he can take a murder scene and put it into his fictional book mind, and then he can tell you who might have done it. Right? That's insane. Yeah. But even those, like the murder victims, look a little too real. Bones, for sure. The superpower of the woman who has the hologram machine that can recreate the crime, and you're like, well, that's not real.
Right.
And but the dead people look a little too real. It was a little creepy, is what I'm saying. And
sometimes you'll have ones that are, you know, there will be, you know, bloody handprints or bloody footprints. That's like, okay.
That's, I mean, okay.
I've done a Jack the Ripper themed room, but it was specifically not horror. It was, you know, you're trying to solve this murder and catch him or something.
It was like murder board, more murder board kind of thing. I like the idea of murder, like a murder board escape room.
Right.
Yeah.
Have I seen one that's had, I'm trying to think. I feel like Usual Suspects. Right. Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yes. Is it Kevin Spacey?
It was Kevin Spacey. Mm. May he rest in peace. Right. Anyway, so he's dead to me, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yep. Anyway. Yep. Yep. I hear you on that. Yeah. So that, I guess, yeah, that was my top five individual escape rooms.
Okay. Do you have escape rooms?
The companies. There are four companies that have multiple rooms that I really like. One of them is Hatch Escapes, which is in Mid-City. They have one location. They have Lab Rat, The Ladder, and The Nest. Lab Rat, you are playing literally a lab rat trying to escape the lab before the next whatever thing they're going to do with you is. And it's very well done. You are, I mean, everything is like you're rat sized and everything around you is bigger for that.
Oh, like a maze.
Yep.
Okay.
The Ladder, I don't remember we play tested The Ladder. I know it was Andy, Risa, Phil, Bernard, and me. I don't remember if you
played it with us or not.
Okay.
I do not.
It's not really an escape room. It's sort of a live game, but it's replayable because there are different ways that it takes you, I guess. We have not replayed it since they finished it. I would like to go back and at least replay it.
Okay.
And then The Nest is their third one, which is a two person only. It's supposedly sort of go to it with somebody that you like. It's story driven experience. I don't think it's really you're solving a bunch of puzzles, but I haven't done it, so I don't know for sure. But it sounds interesting.
Right. And so that company just makes really interesting playable games. Yep. And some of them are escapey and some of them are just storytelling-y.
Right.
That's kind of interesting.
Some of them are puzzly. And it's called
Hatch, what's it called?
Hatch Escapes.
Okay. What's the next one?
There's Maze Rooms. They have a bunch of locations all around. I've done a number of their rooms. They're always well done. They're not like the most insanely creative ones, but they're still good rooms to do. And it's not okay. like you're always doing the same thing. In one of their rooms, you were in a kid's bedroom for part of the room, and you actually had to like shoot basketball at his little basketball hoop that was hanging on his closet door to get something right. or another to happen. So there's still creative okay. stuff in them, and they're all really good rooms. 60 Out is another one. They have multiple locations. They have some longer rooms. They have some 90-minute rooms at some of their locations as well.
Okay.
They've got wow. a location in K-Town. They've got one at Howard Hughes, so where we did the Smurfs. They've got another one sort of in Mid-City. They have one, I think, in West Hollywood. So they've got a bunch of locations, and their production values are usually pretty good.
Okay, that's neat.
They've got most of the themed ones that I've done. They have the Jumanji room. They have the Smurfs room. They had Godzilla versus Kong. They have the
They must have
yeah. So they
must have an in at the
connections.
Yeah. Okay, that's fascinating. That sounds like. There's 100 different ones in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh, there's so many escape rooms. And this is without even including all the horror ones.
And Right. This is just non-horror.
Yep. Right.
Okay.
And there are a bunch that we've done that I haven't even talked about also, because there's not time to talk about all of them.
No. You have literally like 5 minutes.
Right.
So,
okay. The last company is Quest Tavern, and they're in Pomona. Andy's come with us for
That's where the state fair is. Because whenever I would say to a friend of mine, that's not fair, she would say, it's in Pomona. Anyway.
Yep.
The fair is in Pomona. You're out of luck, Jackie.
Yep.
Anyway.
And we've done, I think, 2 rooms there. Would like to do additional ones. The one that we did most recently, and I think this is for any other rooms, in their waiting area when you walk in and they greet you, they actually have costumey things, so you could put on like costume bits because they're all sort of fun. Like Renaissance-y, medieval-y themed.
Oh,
not
right,
like a
it's
theme,
quest.
But like it's appropriate to wear like a cloak or a
are they sword and sorcery?
Yeah, some of them pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, but obviously not boffer LARP, so they're not going to hand you a. Anything to boing each other with. It's just, they're just bits of hats and cloaks and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They're not going to hand you any actual weapons.
There used to be a thing, right? There used to be a thing in Agoura Hills where you could bring your kids and dress them in different Disney costumes as the princess and the, as Aladdin or Little Nemo. And when I babysat for these kids, we only got to go once. It closed down pretty quickly. It was very expensive. And the children loved it so much that they would have a meltdown when they were not allowed to keep the outfits. Right. And they were just like, I want to play this at home. And you're like, sadly, you got to give it back to the 16-year-old who's trying to make a living.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's cool. It's called Quest?
Quest Tavern. And they actually just opened a new site in Upland. There's only one room at it right now. I don't know much about it. But the first one that we did at Quest Tavern, we were saving the unicorns. That was the end game, the end goal of the game. So that was really kind of cute too. And the last room when you walk into it, I don't think this is really a spoiler because you walk into it. It's you walk out into a room and there's some little stuffed unicorns and there's a bubble machine. And so it's blowing bubbles. And bubbles for me are always like, yay, bubbles.
There's
a
joy.
Magical.
I just saw like a TikTok reel or an Instagram reel of a bus driver in London who out his window, he will blow bubbles at the different stops. And he says, it just cheers everybody up.
Yep.
And I like it.
Yep.
And he said, people have come up to me and said, I was in a shit mood. And then I saw bubbles and I was like, oh, there could be bubbles.
The one place or the one frustration that I have with bubbles sometimes is at Disneyland. Kid in a stroller with a bubble wand. The bubble wand's hanging out the side of the stroller. The bubbles are going behind because they're walking. And so the kid is not getting any enjoyment. And it's just getting bubbles on the rest of us.
And there's no justice. And the fact that the child who purchased the bubble purveyor is not getting to see bubbles.
Right. They're not enjoying it. They're just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A so parent the, should it hold it right in weird. Front of them
yeah.
and have the bubbles come at them. And then
right.
we'd all get it.
Yep.
And,
yep. Yep.
But turns out, I'm sure if you have purchased your a bubble, whatever, for your kid, you're also wrangling your child in Disney.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But there I is no justice, so. Which means there probably is no peace. Judy Adler.
Right.
It has been an hour. What
okay.
do you, is there anything you want to say in these final moments about escape rooms and how great they are?
Go have fun.
Try them.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it, and there's no shame in not getting out.
Right. And in not winning the whole thing or not, yep. not solving all of the puzzles,
yep. it's which still is, have fun while you're doing you it. Could, and,
yeah. You could still have fun.
Yep.
It's not the end of the world. It's,
and
yeah.
I would say, you know, if you haven't done any and you want to try one, try one. They're not for everybody. But you
right.
don't know unless you've tried one.
Right, right, right. They might, it might be, right, and it might be a fun thing to do that you have never done before. Like it's because it's sort of like going to see a movie. It's finite.
Yep.
It takes 2 hours. You go. Maybe you go to dinner before or after, you know, you go grab some food before or after and, or you go to the bar after. It's like playing trivia. Like some right. people love to go to a trivia bar
yep.
and play trivia and eat nachos and try to win their team. But if their team doesn't win, they don't care because they yep. got to hang out with three people they like and eat some nachos.
Yep.
So,
yep, yep.
yes, I like this. It's a good fight. And thank you so much for doing the show, Judy Adler. I appreciate it.
Thank you for asking.
And I will see you next week. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?